I'll move on because we have a very special late diversion for you. Brats, communists, scurriers and buffoons. No, we are not referring to the usual panel on late debate, but words that are considered unparliamentary language in the Houses of the Oireachtas. Earlier today, we asked former political reporter Lise Hand to remind us of some of the bolder and cleverer uses of unparliamentary language in the Dáil. And I started by asking her if we have a particularly sweary parliament.
No, I would say that the Dáil chamber, as a rule, isn't a particularly sweary chamber. Outside now is an entirely different matter, of course. But inside, I think the TDs, sometimes through bitter experience, have learned that a mic isn't always off. So they do tend to tone down the language. And I think probably some of the more spectacular F-bombs and outbreaks of profanity have been done deliberately. I mean, I always categorise them into the deliberate F-bomb and then the accidental flurry of Fs. So there really, you know, there really are two categories. But generally, they try and keep it fairly, you know, because look, the whole point about, you know, utterances in the Dáil chambers, it gets on the 6-1 news. So they know if they're going to start letting off F-bombs, they ain't going to make the 6 news or it's going to be heavily redacted.
Like, what are the salient rulings of the chair?
Yes, it's an odd title. It sounds like something, you know, J.K. Rowling would write, isn't it? You know, Harry Potter and the Salient Rulings of the Chair. It's essentially an 88-page document that provides the Ceann Comhairle with the do's and don'ts of what TDs can say in the chamber in terms of language, accusations, allegations and so on. And there, it does contain a fairly long and rather bizarre list of words that are prohibited to be said in the chamber. I mean, they're
well, go on, give us a few.
Well, there's things like, you know, corner boy, communist, scurrilous, buffoon. I mean, kind of old-fashioned words.
But is it because this list was put together quite some time ago?
Exactly. This is it. When, you know, some terms would have been deemed, you know, particularly bad. You know, and there's, I mean, it's even things like, you know, TDs can't be accused of like physical cowardice or been called a coward, which is kind of interesting. It's a very macho list. I mean, there's, you know, that's the one thing you do notice, that most of the terms would be things that boys or men, so to speak, would fling at each other across a crowded bar. Sorry, Dáil chamber. So, you know, there's possibly the Dáil bar. So, you know, it is quite an old fashioned list.
Of course, the most famous incident involving the F word in the Dáil chamber must be the Paul Gogarty Emmett Stagg incident back in 2009. What happened?
Ah, yes, this was a big one. It was a snoozy afternoon in Leinster House. It was about 4 o'clock. There weren't many people paying attention. I was, as usual, slumped in my seat in the gallery, desperately looking for something to write about. And Paul Gogarty from the Greens was on his feet and he was getting heckled very seriously by the Labour benches. And Deputy Emmett Stagg in particular was giving him a hard time. And The red mist descended and Paul Gogarty, with all due respect, he said, which of course usually prefaces something completely disrespectful, he said in the most unparliamentary language, F you, Deputy Stagg, F you.
Let's hear it.
I respected your sincerity. I'd ask you respect mine.
You don't seem very sincere.
Well, all due respect, in the most unparliamentary language, fuck you, Deputy Stagg. Fuck you. I apologise now for my use of unparliamentary language.
Deputy Fogarty, that is most unparliamentary language.
It is most unparliamentary language. I now withdraw it and apologise for it. But I'm outraged that someone dares question my sincerity on this issue.
As it happened, Lise, that wasn't unparliamentary language, technically speaking.
No, that was the extraordinary thing, that the F word isn't on the list of banned words at all. And Paul Gogarty did leave the chamber at some stage, went out and looked up the salient rules and discovered this and came back in and said and made the point that he hadn't actually broken the rules. But then he said, well, I did actually break a rule because under another section, it warns deputies not to be thin-skinned. So he said, well, I did break that rule because I was thin-skinned because I rose to the debate. And I mean, there's a rule that's broken almost every day. There's definitely.
There would be nobody left in there if that rule was applied. Tell me some of the cleverer insults. Good. Take us back to some of the better insults that we've heard flung across the chamber over the years.
Well, I think probably one of the masters of the needle was Joe Higgins, Socialist TD. He was
from Kerry, of course.
For, a Kerry man, yes, though somehow drifted up to Dublin and there and thereupon into the Dáil to torment Taoiseach Bertie Ahern. And he just had an ability to get under Bertie Ahern's skin like few others did. But, you know, a lot of his witticism was also shrouded in a massive, you know, cloak of truth as well. I mean, there was one very famous exchange. It was during Leaders' Questions in 2003. When Joe, despairing of getting an answer from Bertie Ahern on a question he'd put to him, remarked, "I am reminded of what a father, of what a farmer recently told me about a different member of the government. Asking you a question is like trying to play handball against a haystack. You hear a dull thud, and the ball does not come back to you. It goes all over the world, but it certainly does not come back to the person asking the question." And I mean, that, everybody loved that because it was A, just a wonderful insult, but it did actually sum up the ability of Bertie Ahern to talk for 20 minutes and never answer a question.
That reminds me, of course, of the time Bertie Ahern accused another member of the Dáil of being a breakfast food, if I put it that way. Remind us of that one.
Gay Mitchell, TD for Fine Gael, was on his feet and was giving a merry hell and was just going, answer the question. And very unusually for Bertie Ahern, because he had an ability just for all kinds of dog's abuse just to wash off him. I mean, he wasn't called a Teflon Taoiseach for nothing. And he just turned around and again, the red mist just descended on him and he just started going, you know, you're a waffler.
OK, let's hear him.
Answer the question.
Nobody's smoke screening. Perhaps if you stop waffling, we might get some work done. They're a waffler. You've been years around here waffling.
Pat Rabbit to Mark McSharry.
This was probably a classic. This was actually happened not in the Dáil Chamber, but in a committee. And Pat Rabbit, Labour TD, was, again, very good at the one-liners. And it was, if I recall, during hearings on the banking committee, on the banking crisis. And Mark McSharry was going on at some length. Of course, Mark McSharry comes from a long line of TDs.
Eminent political
dynasty, shall we say. And Pat, just at some stage, he just sort of sat back, gazed across at Mark McSharry and just came out with the best.
One friend of mine in particular is a small builder, or maybe more appropriately, to be truthful, I don't know how good he is at it, his father was the small builder. And I notice sometimes, Senator, that talent skips a generation.
That's good, actually.
Was that Mark? Who said that's good, actually?
Actually, that was Mark McSharry. He just put his hands up. And I mean, he kind of knew that was it. You know, it was like, you know, taxi for Mark McSharry, basically. I mean, he was done.
There was another F-bomb from Joan Collins.
Yes, I mean, Joan Collins, again, I would put this into the category of the deliberate F-bomb as opposed to the inadvertently caught one. And again, it was the day after the budget and she was talking in an almost kind of empty chamber, as often happens the day after a budget. And she was going on about that, the sort of the government's approach to the housing crisis and so on. And you could sort of see she was, you know, A, she was angry, but you could sort of see she was winding up to dropping the F-bomb, you know, and then she eventually did. And in her own extremely blunt and forthright manner, she just, you know, let it loose in the chamber.
I know that there are very few here from Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael. You're not here. You're not listening. You don't care. And to put it bluntly, for the amount of phone calls I've got from constituents over the last 24 hours, you just really don't give a fuck. And it's just absolutely outrageous that this is actually happening and people have been subjected to this budget.
That's Joan Collins. What about Eamon Gilmore accusing Brian Cowan of economic treason?
Yeah, now this was an interesting one. I was sitting on the gallery and it was a very tense debate. It was, you know, at the time of the political crisis when, you know, the country was in a terrible state and there was a lot of debates about, you know, the economic disaster that was quite clearly unfolding. And Eamon Gilmore was on his feet and he basically accused Brian Cowan, the Taoiseach, of, as he said, economic treason. And I remember being on the gallery and there was such a tense atmosphere in the chamber. I mean, this was, you know, it's such a loaded word to use, you know, treason, even if it had economic in front of it. Brian Cowan got to his feet and you could see that he was really, really shaken by it. He was actually really taken aback and really upset. And he kind of said something like, you know, I am beholden to nobody. And no man would ever come into this chamber and accuse me of economic treason. And it's completely beyond the pale. And it was a really, really tense atmosphere. And you could see, I mean, out of probably of all the things anyone ever threw across the chamber, I don't think I've ever seen anybody so genuinely shocked sitting in the Taoiseach's chair as Brian Cowan was that day.
That actually just coming, as you say, that the flawed pedigree.
Yeah, well, of course,
of a previous political generation.
Well, that again was, of course, the charge thrown by Gareth Fitzgerald across the chamber at Charlie's Hohe. And actually, many years later, I think it was quite a few years later, I think Gareth Fitzgerald, you know, expressed his regret for using such a loaded phrase, you know, against Charles Hohe. So, but they were more gentlemanly times when apologies were forthcoming.
Indeed. There's been moments of pretty outrageous sexism.
Yeah. There has been, I mean, the famous one, I suppose, really was back in 1992 when Albert Reynolds drew a lot of ire when he was responded to various heckles from Fine Gael's Nora Owen by sort of making it what he thought was a jokey aside, saying, you know, sure, that's women for you. And he got hammered for it. But I really don't really think that's the worst one. I mean, one of the ones that really got me was back in 2010 and the Taoiseach Brian Cowan was on his feet and he was being barracked by Joan Burton, who is the finance spokesperson for Labour. And now Joan has a great ability to get under the skin of people because she's indefatigable. I mean, she would just keep going and keep going. But the Taoiseach turned around and he kind of addressed Eamon Gilmore and he said, try and rein her in now and again. And there was actually a nasty edge to it. I mean, I was there and I heard it and I remember thinking that just is nasty. It didn't come across as a joke. Now, he did sort of more or less immediately, you know, say, apologise in sort of saying, well, you know, I'm really sorry about that, but I'm always getting heckled. You know, it's, you know, will nobody kind of take, you know, my travails into account here?
It left a bad taste.
It left a bad taste, yeah.
The Miss Piggy incident.
Oh, God, Miss Piggy incident, yeah. This again, the new doll was only quite fresh out of the traps. It was of May or June 2011. And there were three amigos sitting up the back of the section where the Independents used to sit. It was Mick Wallace, Luke Ming Flanagan and Shane Ross. And they were muttering, you know, just having obviously the chats or the bants, as they'd probably call it, between each other. And Mick Wallace, the mic picked up Mick Wallace saying, Miss Piggy has toned it down a bit today, and sort of a bit of sniggering and all that kind of carry on. And it was a reference to Fine Gael's Mary Mitchell O'Connor. And now this did cause quite a, you know, obviously this was, you know, seen as, I mean, it was not only was it sexist, it was just puerile as well. It was both those things. Now, Mary Mitchell O'Connor handled it really well. And she just said, you know, look, it was said, she accepted an apology from Mick Wallace and kind of just said, right, let's move on. And she actually turned it some good. She turned wearing pink into a kind of a fundraiser in the doll. So she kind of rose above the whole fray.
Finally, I mean, if you want to, you know, look for search words in the doll transcripts, you might be sorely disappointed because my memory of covering doll proceedings, you would think you heard something and go back and check the record of that day's proceedings and the interesting bit might have suddenly disappeared or been cleaned up a little.
Oh, Katie, this is such a bugbear of mine. I mean, particularly as a colour writer where you are very reliant on trying to get the colourful things in the doll, and the amount of times you would go into the doll transcripts afterwards and either something was covered by the catch-all phrase interruptions, which is usually, you know, standard for dogs abuse been hurled across the chamber, or they will have cleaned up the language or the grammar. And, you know, frankly, it's supposed to be a record of the doll. It's not supposed to be just sort of, you know, the tidied up version. You know, you should see democracy in all its sweary profanities. I mean, there is a legendary story that back in 1963, Independent TD Frank Sherwin was thrown abuse at a colleague across the chamber. And the dull record shows that he described him twice as a dirt bird. But legend has it, according to a veteran political journalist, told me that that had been changed because the original term he used was shite-talk. And frankly, that's a good old Irish swear and nobody ever uses dirtbird. So, you know, democracy was done down that day.
And that was, of course, the wonderful Lise Hand. And our address for the complaints
Three ducks before 11 o'clock.
Dublin 4. Mick, you remember a good one, not from our parliament, but across the way.
Yeah, it was the Labour MP, Dennis Skinner, who told the House of Commons one day that half the MPs on the Tory benches are corrupt. And the Speaker cut across him and said, you can't say that, it's unparliamentary language, you have to withdraw it, you should apologise. And eventually, after 5 or 10 minutes, Dennis Skinner stood up and said, OK, I'll clarify my position and I'll apologise. So what I want to say is half the MPs on the Tory benches are not corrupt.
Have you had any sweary moments, Ian?
I got bleeped out of the 6-1 News once for describing a certain member of the financial sector as being a share of bees. But I don't know. It's probably is unbecoming. But there is, as Lisa described, there's a heat of the moment. And then there's the prepared one, and the prepared one is always, a bit staged.
Can you spot a prepared one a mile off, Paul?
Oh, absolutely. I think there's a couple of brilliant ones when you go back through the Irish records. There's a great one between Eric Byrne and Dermot O'Hearn from about 95, where they have a go at each other and they call each other hypocrites. And in the middle of it, Brian Cowan calls Eric Byrne, the Labour TD, a political scumbag. And the Count Corla, Sean Tracy, steps in and he says, sorry, guys, you can't say the word hypocrite. And he comes back to, so he had to come back the following day and actually say, also, you can't call somebody a scumbag.
Okay. I think we are out of time.